and gentlemen, welcome to another extremely exciting episode of Thunderdome Metal Reviews. As always, in spite of who I am as a person, I'm your host, one of four, David. With me, as always, in spite of who they are Gabe, Tracy, and Ben. Gentlemen, how are you in the places where you are?
Doing pretty good.
That didn't sound like you have, there was no feeling in that, Tracy.
Well, he's not on holiday in the murder basement, that's for sure.
He's definitely not.
Certainly not.
Well,
feeling kind of old, actually, with this review.
I mean, admittedly, Betty was a hot minute ago. Anyway, we are reviewing Helmet because I needed an album for this month. And I looked at what was coming out and I was like, fuck yes, I know who Helmet is. Even if I have to confess, I got off the ride. I haven't heard any of the albums since like the late 90s. Not on purpose. It's just a band I forgot existed. And but I love the shit out of, was it Meantime or whatever. Man, I listened to that album so much. Fuck, and Betty.
I thought the soundtrack stuff was really good too. So
yeah. And I was not, to give it away, I was not sad about this. This was cool. It reminds me of, you know, I feel like Filter. There was some overlap there at all times, and their recent stuff's also pretty decent. Not to put them in the same cubby, but they're sort of similar. Anyway, so yes, I picked this because I was a dork listening to Meantime playing tabletop games in 1993. I hurt people in the following ways. Anyway, so this is Helmet, which Ben sounds like new. Gabe, it's always 50-50 if it's from the olden times, the old country, if Gabe did it. This one you did, Gabe.
I know that you all have heard of a little soundtrack called The Crow, and Helmet
right,
was on that soundtrack. So when I was, whenever I got that, which was probably in 94, I learned who this band was. So I definitely recognized the name and had heard them. So I was stoked.
Thanks.
Outside of The Crow, I don't think I've heard these. Any of this?
You have, because we did the Judgment Night Sight soundtrack, and they're on that too.
Yeah, in your face, Tracy. One time okay. They were on a track. Yeah, I know.
Nothing they've done has stuck out to me like themselves individually, because I went through like most of their top Earth tracks.
Side? So Earthside for me.
Yeah, exactly. Because I was looking at this, I'm like, let's see, that's a lot of plays. I've surely probably heard something of this along the lines. Because I've watched a lot of the late 90s movies as well. I'm sure there's some soundtrack shit in there.
In the early 90s. Nothing. It was this and Pantera and Bolt Thrower. That's what those were the
days. Yeah, I mean, you know, they were kind of a hipster, like, grunge band. They're on the heavier side of grunge. So, like, you know, one of those. And I don't want to overplay this. And we've talked about this a lot in other podcasts. You can go back and listen to pretty much anything we've done of bands from this era. And when we discussed this, but like, you know, I kind of felt like this was one of those outfits that, at least for Betty and the one before that, where metalheads and the people who listened to grunge and didn't consider it metal and thought it was something completely different could kind of, so the alt rockers could kind of, you know, agree on it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I read a reviewer who described this as jock rock for nerds. So he just
it's a little hipstery in that way, sure.
It was sort of hipstery. And it like preceded the grunge thing and continued after it. So it was, I think, in some ways an intersecting line, but
yeah, but it was like it kind of, they probably were never considered a grunge band. Because they were not in the
CIA. I bet A&R guys considered them a grunge band, but I just feel like they were like Adrift being who they were, and A&R guys were like, this sounds like grunge.
Sure, sure.
And even when grunge died, they kept doing it. Because this sounds very much like those albums. As if no time has passed, which is...
It is a solid alt-rock, post-grunge, whatever the fuck you want to call it, pre-grunge, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's their ninth studio album. It was released on November 10th, 2023 on Ear Music. Had a runtime of 29 minutes and 48 seconds. A sweet, sweet 29 minutes and 48 seconds.
I got the band award.
49 minutes and 48 seconds?
29 minutes and 48 seconds.
Spotify has them at 31 minutes and 20 seconds.
And there's some additional stuff there. Paige Hamilton on vocals and guitar. Kyle Stevenson on drums. Dan Beeman on guitars, Dave Case on bass, and Paige Hamilton and Mark Rink were listed as, and Jim Kaufman are listed as the producers.
Well, I can tell you, this sounds like Helmet, y'all. Put it on, I'm like, yep, that's Helmet. And I got to the end 29 minutes or 31 minutes later, and I'm like, yep, that's Helmet. But I thought it was well produced. I thought it was, its politics were where I am at and always were from Helmet, right? I wasn't like, I'm going to choke these people because they're fascists. They were on the other side. And it made me feel much more alive than Daniel Harms, which I would listen to before this, because I listened to them in order. And so I've always wondered if we had different albums mixed together, how we would perceive them. But this, after Daniel Harms, felt like climbing out of the manhole, if that makes any sense. But I also know that it's a little bit gun fluffy for, you know, it's not death metal. It never said it was. Indeed, yeah. Even Apple says it's hard rock. It's what Apple says. So.
I think it's a little bit about you know, making sure your expectations are tuned. And you know, I have really only heard Meantime by this band. Like, it's not like I followed them or anything, but I really dug it. I dug the 90s vibes to it. I dug the fact that it has sort of this grunge adjacent kind of thinking man's grunge kind of stuff. I don't even know what you'd call it, but it's heavy. And it doesn't seem like, and because it has this, like, I don't know, it doesn't seem very by the numbers at all. Like, I think that the compositions are kind of full of these left turns, and that's, you know, no mistake. For me, I think that the experiments don't always work that they do, but when they are particularly effective, they get catchy and earwormy. And that's really super awesome for like an alternative rock band that's, you know, still around.
Nine albums.
It's an extremely long career, and I don't really know how they've done, you know, since the 90s, but they're still doing stuff, which is cool. And they're still kind of doing it in a similar sort of way, I guess. I also got vibes of like that band Failure on this record. Like, I love that that sound, and I love sort of those that big sound that they get. I don't know. It's cool.
It's a very NPR friendly alt rock album. It's well played, well produced.
Except for all the cursing on it, but
well, yeah, sure. But you know what I'm saying, though. Like, there's nothing too challenging on it, and unless you are like, if you are left leaning in any way, no pun intended, you're going to agree with the politics of the album. So it's kind of, it's a little bit of preaching to the choir in a safe way. Which is fine. I mean, there's nothing at all wrong with it. It was just like, there is a resigned maturity to it, which makes sense because these dudes have been doing it.
Resigned and mature.
Yeah. 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 It's your college professor's band as opposed to like the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is your college professor's band.
Yeah, literally, actually.
But also, like, I think, you know, if it's safe, if it's safe musically, you also have to think that, like, these guys are still playing in an alt rock mode, and like,
yeah,
the alt rock,
yeah,
like, who even uses that word alt rock anymore? I mean, it's like so like outdated, doesn't even make any sense to anybody who didn't like live through the 90s, essentially. So maybe you can dig him for that, sure. And yeah, I wonder what it would sound like if they were a little bit more radical on the political side of things too.
I guess the issue that I have with it, and it's more an issue for me than it is for them, is I wanted it to have more fire to it than what it had. I wanted more Bad Religion or early Helmet, and that's unfair.
I mean, you're allowed to have expectations.
You are.
Well, yeah, but I mean, still, you know, like wanting, I don't, you know, if I were to, I'm not the same person, and I don't, I'm not as fiery in certain ways as I was in 1993 either, is where I was going with that.
I also think preceding this last time recorded with Seeing the Elephant and Battle Angelus maybe didn't do them any favors. in terms of like how much you can push it. Right. Just again, to think about the frame, if we came into this after Antifa beat the shit out of us.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to live in the world where Ben is a station manager of NPR and cerebral rot is what introduced.
I would play the shit out of Gunfluff. I can tell you that.
This is Daniel Harms to lead you into all things considered.
To lead you to your Thanksgiving weekend, folks. Just
yeah.
We
now have screaming with ski masks coming, leading us into
just leading us in.
And into whatever the fuck the financial breakdown is that they used to do.
I think it's the financial breakdown. That's what it's called now.
Yeah, dropping bows with the financial breakdown.
Do some Daniel Harms and some Oxbow. Make it real tight up in there.
You need to diversify your bonds.
For me, this album is very much feels like a snapshot out of the 90s.
You're like welcome, Tracy.
It sounds very similar to what you would hear out coming out of it. But and hearing this, like, yep, this is a David album. Like, just yep. That's exactly what everybody. And so
I wasn't sad. I'm like, yep, that's Helmet.
There's nothing really to ding these guys on when it comes to like just songwriting and stuff. But it's like they don't really go out of their way to like try or push anything either. It's just kind of like, hey, we know what we're doing and here's what we're doing. So it's kind of very safey in that way as well.
They didn't make you come to their show, Tracy.
No, you made me come to their show.
I'm like, we have to go to the show. Okay, fair point, brother.
Yeah.
Withdraw.
So yeah, I mean, so there's really nothing like really to hate against them. And what they do very well. It does feel like it's obviously it's heavily influenced by grunge. I just kind of clicked through a couple tracks of their earlier stuff, and that felt very coming after Alice in Chains. Like, hey, Alice in Chains happened prior to this, so it's obviously influenced by that. Kind of like you just couldn't escape it. What?
I'm looking up the. I feel. No, my God. I googled the word helmet and got garbage. Sorry.
Hey, garbage is a good band.
I love that band too. Shit. I'm just trying to remember when that first one was. Oh my God, stop asking me for money, Wikipedia. It's never happening. Let's see.
The first Helmet album?
The first one is 90, man. That's not fair to them. I disagree with that. I contend, as I said earlier, that they were doing a thing, and some A&R guy was like, this sounds like other shit that's happening on the West Coast.
No, but they totally got
early, man.
Swept up by an A&R guy. I mean, that's like the fucking Melvins got signed after Nirvana broke, and they are not grunge either, or fucking Butthole Surfers. But,
for sure, because I feel like, and I rarely push back in this way, but I don't think that's who they are. Like, to have put out, because that first album sounds a lot like Meantime. And 1990, like, short of, I mean, I don't know the month one or the other was released, but that doesn't track to me, given how long Ben's talked about this. It used to take to make your first record. Right, usually it was a brutal slog to get anyone to put shit on tape. So, I mean, I would not say they were not influenced by that scene, but I think they were doing their own shit.
Yeah, and they're also coming out of New York. I guess maybe so, you know. So it's the other side of the fucking country.
I don't buy it.
Okay.
I know it sounds like the 90s, but you know what? Because that's what the 90s was, Tracy.
That's 100%. It was. It's totally
like
the
90s. Hear 80s thrash. You're like, every one of these bands is Slayer. I'm like, well, maybe, but maybe they're just all from LA.
Well, I mean, you know, we can talk about like the. If you're looking, there's a certain New York vibe to this. It sounds like New York to me, but like you have the Beastie Boys, you have Anthrax, you have like the West the East Coast hip hop thing going. Yeah, Biohazard. So you have those elements that are going into it in a similar way to what's going on that it's influencing like Seattle and wherever it was that LA, I guess, that Alice in Chains came out of. So
there's Seattle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that Seattle or Portland or LA. Oh, it's fucking West Coast. So, yes, there is I would argue it is conversion evolution, Tracy.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't doubt that by 92 or 95, they're like, there's a thing we have to pay attention to. But my God, the Black Album. I don't know. Everyone's paying attention to this bunch of shit. Dave Mustaine, every album ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we should also point out that this album was released after an 8-year hiatus.
Yes. No, they took a long break. And they're still making music, which is fucking stunning, and not dead. I loved Lane. I just posted a thing about him beating a Nazi up, but he's fucking dead, whereas this guy's alive. So that is a thing that should be celebrated. Not that I'm, I guess I said I'm devastated that Lane went, but of course that's how he was going to go.
Yeah.
And Chris Cornell, and I mean, my God, that scene. Anyway, they are super alive, which I know sounds like I'm setting a low bar, but I mean, grunge destroyed itself.
It has. 7 years to be accurate, not even. Anyway, tracks?
Yeah, sure. Let me pull them up. I'd say most, but if I had to pick some favorites, I would say I thought Holiday was a good opener. And of course, I like New York Tough Guy. Big Shot, I feel that way about Rich People too. The instrumental didn't bother me too much. The reprise, Dislocated is a very, very Helmet song, just in terms of how it sounded. Yeah, I liked pretty much all of these. I don't know. I admit it was not that challenging, but at 29 minutes, just get in and let it happen.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's a lot of 1996 happening, but it's like a way more polished version of that. And I agree, they're like Professor Edition. So, yes, Tracy, I'm sorry. I like this album. Sorry.
I would also say at the runtime of 29 minutes as listed or 30 minutes for on Spotify, whatever it is, that I would take the ride. The ones that do stand out to me is Gunfluff. And I also want to give them credit for what they do with Resolution at the very end, kind of throwing in that jazzy track. It's very nice, which I thought was actually pretty tasty.
Good shit.
If you like them, you'll pretty much enjoy every track on this album. For me, though, the run 2, 3, 4, and 5, that run there, four track run, I think is probably the best four tracks on the album. And New York Tough Guy is probably the one that's a little bit out of the place on that one, but Gunfluff, Makeup, and Big Shot were the three I put on the playlist.
Interesting. I also like Gunfluff and Makeup, but I think that the second half is stronger for me, especially Dislocated all the way to Resolution, so the last four tracks. I also liked Bombastic. I'm not sure what's going on with like the first five tracks, but they just don't appeal to me as much. But I also really thought that Resolution was great, and just a fun kind of end to the album.
Word.
Grade it?
Yeah, let's do it.
I will grade it. So I will not argue, Tracy. I see your eye roll. The eye roll here. Like, I could see how some people would like this. Anyway, I understand it is not trailblazing, and perhaps 1997 came at you with a blowtorch, but I'm going to give this a solid A-. I really enjoyed this, and it took me back, and I thought it was well-made, and they're craftsmen, and A-. I'm sure it's higher than what's about to happen, but that's where I'm at.
I'm going to come in and just give it a solid B overall.
I'll take that.
I'm going to be the low man on this, I have a feeling, but I'm going to come in slightly under Tracy and give it a B-. It's solid. It's good. If you like this band, you'll like it. And it's better than being something that only fans will like, hence a B- instead of a C+. But again, it was, it never got out of second gear, in my opinion.
Okay, well, that's interesting. So I would guess I'm kind of squarely in the middle. I think that this is a B+. And I would say that it doesn't enter A territory for me just because I don't really like all the tracks. And by the same token, I think there's really, really catchy moments on it. Like every single time I hear Powder Puff, I'm like, man, song rules. Every single time I hear Gunfluff, I'm like, man, that song rules. You know, they're just like, there are a few songs like that on the record, and I would come back to this record a lot, even though I should probably just go investigate the back catalog.
I mean, that's only a great spread, a one letter grade. I'll take it.
Yeah, we're all kind of there nice and tight, which gives us an average of 86. I would buy this album.
I would.
I would not.
Just see. I was like, oh my god, Helmet. I would just buy it. I would be surprised it was a thing and it would exist. And I admit that probably bumped me up some, but I don't think terribly. I might have been where Gabe was if I didn't know this band as well as I do. But yeah, if I could, I'd buy this on 8-track, Wax Cylinder. Played it on my Victrola.
All right, so what are we doing next time?
Next, we are doing my pick for the month of November in Earthside's new release, Let the Truth Speak.
Yes.
I'm sure Ben's got some truths to speak on this one.
I do. And I will give you one of those truths now. It has taken a second go around with this band and nearly 700 albums, but Tracy finally found something more pretentious than Wheel.
You're amazing.
Welcome. Oh, no.
You're welcome.
What holster steps out in the street? Mm-hmm. Come on, Thundered Metal Reviews. Tombstone Edition.
Just wheels out a fucking cannon. Just
dog, 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 dog. Yeah, yep. You should listen to that episode, everyone. Yeah. It's going to be exciting. Tracy and Ben are friends, I promise.
We hug each other when we see each other, and we hug each other when we goodbye.
I love you, bro, but your album fucking sucks. Anyway, yeah.
Broken Bacaw. Broken Bacaw.